This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Abby Wendell.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
I'm sure most listeners, if not all, have heard of the Nielsen ratings. The company is known for measuring TV ratings, helping determine what shows aired and how much money networks could charge for ads on programs. Adweek reports Nielsen has spent a couple years developing a tool to measure viewers across all platforms, not just TV viewers, as it has for the last 65 years. This concept is called Total Audience Measurement, and Adweek reports Nielsen will begin rolling it out in December. TV viewership has dropped in recent years, while viewership across other platforms has increased. So Nielsen's tool is a big deal. It's a chance for the industry to make money, basically, because this will measure viewership on TVs, DVRs, Roku, Xbox, personal computers, tablets, you name it. If there's some sort of way of watching a TV program, they supposedly will be able to measure it. And like I say, this is a big deal and a big change, Jasmine.
This is huge. And when they say TV ratings have continued to decline, it's more that they've shifted. They've shifted to other devices,
or
people,
agree.
Or people are watching it. Not necessarily they're watching it when it's happening, but they are TiVoing it, or they're watching it on the internet, or they're watching it on Apple TV or Roku. All these different devices now that in the past we've not been able to measure, and now they've worked on a system that we can now account for all these different people who are time shifting or just shifting to different devices to watch and not on the typical medium of television.
Right. So when I say TV viewership is dropping, I'm talking about in terms of, you know, it's such and such time on a certain mm-hmm. night I need to be here to watch this program. That's not the way people watch anymore.
No, it's definitely – and it's not the way I watch anymore. I think especially a lot of the millennial generation, I think Abby and I might have that in common. And Rich, you probably do too, is that we're not necessarily home to watch every favorite channel, you know, every favorite show we have. So we have to now find a different way to watch those shows.
Yeah. Or even yeah, I don't subscribe to HBO, but I love some of their programs, so I end up using Netflix to watch those programs. I wonder if that will be measured as part of this, too, or is there a certain time limit on how long, a program from its initial airing to the time that it's actually allowed to be measured as a viewership.
I think in the past they had Nielsen had the capability to measure ratings up to 35 days after the mm-hmm. live airing for both linear and digital TV. And I think there's going to be some kind of change here.
I think they might be able to keep being able to monitor it for longer periods of time to sort. I'm not sure. It was a very long and complicated article to read, as you know, a lot of these kind of data stories are. But it seemed to be that it was saying that yeah, they would be able to sort of follow the history of a single episode, which I would imagine for the producers of television. Yeah, okay, for the advertising industry, that's going to mean something. But also for like the creators of the shows themselves, I bet that that's going to be kind of like a cool thing to be able to see the life of their artwork. I don't watch very much television at all. I would be maybe one of the few people, you know, I grew up in a household that had televisions, and I would Seinfeld, God, I don't even remember. Ally McBeal. What was the one about the White House? Was like huge.
The West Wing.
The West Wing, mm-hmm. right. I loved it. And that was on like every Sunday night or something like that. And so my family would watch like 60 Minutes and then the West Wing. But when I moved out of my parents' house to go to college when I was 17, I never bought a TV. And like, because I don't have a TV, I mean, I watch right now. I'm catching up on Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. right? And I'll watch a couple episodes a week just to kind of wind down. But what I thought was really interesting about this was how even though we might not necessarily have to be in front of the screen at the given time, you know, mm-hmm. how tied so many Americans still really are to being there within like a week, it said. You know, a lot of people watch that episode, if not right when it's live, a week after it's been published. So,
well, if you're not the only one in your group watching this particular program, you don't want to be the last one
sure.
and have everyone else talking
exactly.
about it and being out of the loop.
Yeah, no, I mean, I it is like a really big part of people's lives. It's a really big part of my parents' lives still.
You know, I thought this was all high tech, but it sounds like they're still using these diaries that they deliver to households and asking people to write stuff down. Is that true?
I know some of my friends have said that they've gotten like $1 or $2 in the mail plus a diary from Nielsen to account for their TV viewing.
I didn't get a diary, but I last year after I had just moved here got some sort of like it was like 7 or 8 pages long, and I think I got a buck. I can't remember, but I filled it out and I thought I'm probably like way in the minority here because I'm just, you know, not a viewer.
Where were you living when you got that?
I was living in Macomb.
You were here. Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's harder to account for viewership in smaller communities. In bigger communities, like when I worked in Las Vegas, Nielsen would send out boxes that people could attach to their cable box or their televisions, and it would record without them having to report what they were watching. So, I mean, the only thing is if you have your TV on and you step out of the room and you're gone for hours at a time, it's still, you know, accounting for you watching that channel and that station, even if you're not really looking at it.
Well, but on the other hand, the diary where you write it down, you may wait a week to fill that out and say, well, I usually watch this program.
Or you might lie because you're embarrassed about something that you watch.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And the reliability there isn't necessarily the best when it comes to accounting for what people do on a daily basis as well.
Sure.
But of course, and of course, this all comes down to the bottom line too, right? The main thing is that we can measure what people are watching, and thus the industry can charge more money for certain programs, maybe money they were not able to charge before because we didn't realize how many people were watching a particular program in certain types of ways.
Yeah, we're talking about billions of dollars, $70 billion worth of advertising that Nielsen makes or breaks, honestly, with television shows. So the more that your show is being watched, the more that you can charge advertisers, and that's how people make money in this business.
And I hope this measures across a more diverse segment of the population, too. One of the criticisms of Nielsen for many years was that these diaries were generally being delivered to white, middle and upper income households, and we're missing a large segment of the population and their viewing habits.
Yeah, you're missing the 25 to 34 demographic sometimes entirely.
Yeah, and I mean, you can see how that would play out in what ends up being broadcast on television, you know, and the limited diversity that we do see.
All right. Hey, with that, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.